Ephesians 6, 10 to 13. I just want to read a few verses here and use them kind of like a springboard to go into a different point, biblical point. Ephesians 6, 10 to 13. I'm going to read that, and you can just follow along in the Bible. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I ask you to help me this morning, Lord, in this short time. I pray, Lord, that you would be the one that would be speaking, directing, Lord. I pray, Lord, you'd give us something from the Bible this morning so that we could leave here, Lord, with more strength, with more zeal, and wanting to serve you more, Lord, doing your will. Pray that you'd speak to us, Lord, and help us, please. We pray in your name. Amen. In this passage of the Bible, it's speaking about the war that we're in. And we're in a war. Whether we want to admit it or not, we're in a war. Amen. And to deny that would basically be calling God a liar. God says that we're in a war. And there's many Christians, we're all soldiers of Jesus, the Bible says, and there's many Christians that do not want to be in a war, want to walk away and hide from that fact. And in this war, what we need is to put on the whole armor of God. Not part of it, not most of it, but all of the armor of God. And the reason for that is so that we can stand for right, so we can stand in that evil day. And it seems that more than before, there's more evil days than not. It seems that there are more days that are trying days and problems and different things going on. And many times what a lot of folks do is pulling back from serving God and from doing right and quitting on God, thinking that there's a way to escape that war. But the Bible says in Ecclesiastes that there's no discharge from that war. There's no discharge from that war. And the words that I want to start off with, it says, "And having done all to stand." And having done all to stand. The words that say, "And having done all." And having done all. I'm not going to do a study here of this part of the Bible, Ephesians 6, but I want to take the words "and having done all" and use them and apply it in the area of missions, in the area of reaching people. And having done all. The first biblical application for this passage is having done all to stand against the devil, to stand against his powers in this world, having done all to stand and to do right and to follow God all the way up until the end. That's the first application. But if we use these words to speak about missions and to speak about the great need, we need to be able to say, "and having done all in the area of missions." And having done all in the area of missions. We know that God has commissioned his church and his people to accomplish this purpose. We know that. We know that God has us here, not that we can sit down and be comfortable and do that which pleases us, but to reach the lost world with the gospel. That is the purpose of the church. If that wasn't the purpose, then why would we be here? But we're here with a reason. We're here because God wants to use us to reach the world with the gospel. God has commanded us, and we need to obey his command, and that we can say in the end, "and having done all." God has placed the burden on our shoulders, on the shoulders of the church. What burden? That burden to reach the whole world with the gospel. There's a great need everywhere. I don't know about you, but seeing the pictures, I know the people in those pictures. The great majority of them, I can tell you their names, I can tell you where they live, I can tell you what they're going through. The majority of those people in those pictures, they still go to church with us, and praise the Lord for that. And when we see people in slide presentations, I guess there's no more slide presentations, is there? In DVD presentations, and a missionary showing the different pictures that there are concerning his ministry or concerning what he would like to do, a lot of times it does something to our hearts. But the problem is, we need even more than that. We need to use that as a start to do more ourselves in this area, but also in the area of missions and all over the world. They need to hear. Who is going to tell them? And that is the big problem. We know from the Bible about where Jesus is giving the Great Commission out. And something interesting about that, we're not going to turn to those passages in the Bible, but for instance, if we go to Matthew 28, we'll see the words, all nations. All nations. We have to ask ourselves, are we reaching all nations? How many countries are there that there is nobody there? Or whatever is going on is something that's hidden, it's not free 100%, or people that give their lives and die. Here we can witness, we can serve God, we can read the Bible, we can do so many things, and there's really no hindrance. There's nothing to stop us here. We have the law that is basically on our side. We have freedom of religion, but there's so many places where if somebody even mentions the name of Jesus, they could lose their lives. Are we reaching all nations? In Mark, it talks about reaching every creature. How interesting God uses the word creature. How interesting. Creatures. Reach every creature. Every creature to every creature. There could be a lot of folks that we could see in different countries, in different areas, even here, and we could say, boy, every creature. Every creature. Those of you that work or have worked in a Sunday school class, that term could fit very easily, every creature. But are we reaching every creature? Are we reaching every creature? Also in Luke, it talks about all nations. The second time, all nations. In John, Jesus says the words, even so, send I you. That's not for me. That's for Pastor Jerry. That's not for me. That's for Brother Isaac. That's not for me. That's for, and we could go on and mention names. But God says, even so, send I you. How is it that we can escape from that and justify and not do what God has told us to do? In the book of Acts, I'll read a portion here. It says, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria. I want to read it like in Spanish. I can't get away from that. I don't know if I speak English anymore. And unto the uttermost part of the earth. The words there are really interesting. It says, unto me. Unto me. Brothers, it doesn't matter if the people want to hear or not. It says, unto me. Jesus said, unto me. The purpose of witnessing, the purpose of telling people about the Savior isn't necessarily so that they'll be saved. We want them to be saved. God wants them to be saved. He wants to give them eternal life. But the fact of the matter is, each and every person decides for themselves by believing or by not believing what God has promised. And the fact of the matter is, the purpose of witnessing and soul winning and telling others is unto me, doing it for the Savior. And if we're not serving God, who are we serving? Well, we'll serve Pastor Jerry. But let's just say that in 10 years, Pastor Jerry isn't around anymore. Or I'm not around anymore. Or Pastor Ross isn't around anymore. And the fact of the matter is, if we're serving a man, we're not serving God, and we need to serve God, and we can follow other people. Yes, we can. But he says, unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth, both, the word both. God wants us to do all at the same time. How important that is. If we ask the question, how many people in Jasonville and in this area, the outlying cities and towns, and how many have been reached with the gospel? How many don't know? Pastor Jerry told me the other day that in this area, to find Catholic people is very hard. There's not that many Catholic people around here. To find people, mostly everybody, it has some type of basis on the Bible, believes the Bible. Maybe they're not saved. Maybe they go to a church that doesn't even believe in salvation the way God says in the Bible. But the fact of the matter is that most folks here know something about the Bible, and many people here are saved people. Many people in this area. But is this area reached? Not even close. Right. Not even close. Right. How many folks did you say are in this area in the county? About 30,000, and if one-tenth of that were in church on Sunday morning, there would be no place for them in all the church. There would be no room. Unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. We need to be doing all at the same time. We need to be reaching here. We need to be reaching in the outlying areas. Pastor Dre was mentioning about a few churches that are further away and trying to help them to get started or to progress further on and for the church to be raised up. And that's a blessing. That's important. But we need to do that in the whole world. And what about the whole world? What are we doing? The need is great. We know from the Bible that God wants everybody to be saved. We know that. There's no doubt about it. How the people with their Calvinistic beliefs thinking that Jesus only died for the elect. What a lie. What a lie. There's so many verses in the Bible that talk about him dying for everybody and offering anybody salvation. By faith. It's by faith through grace. And God wants everyone to be saved. But the problem is many people, they don't want to know. I'd like to ask you all a question. How many here, you are not interested in the Bible? You are not interested in salvation. You didn't really want to know about God. And somebody telling you, somebody inviting you to church, somebody witnessing to you, no, leave me alone. I'm not interested in that. How many were like that? Raise your hand. How many were like that? The honest truth, how many? Just a few. That's very straight. Almost wrecks my message. I was not interested in salvation. I didn't want to know. As a child, 8, 9, 10 years old, there was a Catholic Bible in the house and I was reading it. At 8 or 9, 10 years old, I was interested. I wanted to know. But after reading a couple of days, a couple of weeks, and you don't understand what you're reading, nobody helps you, nobody tells you, you put the Bible away to the side, and that's the end of the deal. You don't search anymore. And so many people are like that. We don't want to know the truth. We want to know something that makes us feel good. Many people, they go to church on Sunday morning so that they can make their salve their conscience, make themselves feel better. But they leave church the same way they came in the church, lost and on their way to hell. God wants everybody to be saved. The other day, Pastor Jerry gave us the book, Grace Will Lead Me Home, by Brother Ron Allen. And he was in this church for many years, I believe. And I started to read that book, and I read the whole book from beginning to end in the same sitting. And my wife finished reading the book, and my children, I'm not sure if they're done or not. But the book is excellent, about somebody that didn't really want to know. As a child, yes, with his grandma. But after that passed away, the situation, he wasn't interested. Even almost dying there in Vietnam. And tell them, do you believe in God? No! And rejecting it. You know, there's a lot of circumstances like that, a lot of situations like that. But you know, God is patient, and God just keeps on knocking, and he keeps on talking, and he keeps on convicting, and he does all that because he wants every person to be saved. Every person is important. God gives light. But how many people want that light? God speaks, but how many people want to hear? And sometimes what they need is somebody to help out in that situation. Somebody to come with a Bible and show them. Somebody to talk to them and care. And you know, probably that's the biggest point, somebody to care. If somebody cares and you can tell, you'll listen to what they have to say, even though you may not be in agreement with it. And reading that book, that was a blessing. How he got saved and how he's trying to serve the Lord, and that's an absolute blessing. But what about people all over the world? What about people in Africa? What about people in other countries that maybe are searching, that maybe want to know, and we're not doing what we need to do to reach those people? The Bible says all nations. The Bible says every creature. The Bible says, even so send I you. The Bible says, unto me both, and speaking about the different areas. But are we actually doing that which God has commanded us to do? How many children are all over the world that want to know, and they're not going to know because we're not doing what we need to do? And the time will pass where they'll grow up and they'll be hardened by sin, and they'll not be interested in hearing and knowing, and they won't be searching for God anymore. And will those people have to go to hell because we haven't done that which God told us to do? The Ethiopian eunuch who went to Jerusalem to read for the feast and to celebrate and to see what the Jews were teaching about God. And he came back with a scroll of Isaiah and reading it, and he was searching and he didn't know, and God sent somebody. But how would it be if Philip said, "I'm here in Samaria. Everything's going real well. People are being saved left and right. People are listening. I am not going to leave here, God. I think you got the wrong man. You need to send him, not me." Where would that poor man be? Lost. The fact of the matter is, we need to do something. Pastor Jerry mentioned this on Wednesday night about praying for laborers. Let's turn to that place in the Bible, Matthew 9. Matthew 9. There's much that we can do so that others can hear the gospel, so others can have the opportunity to be saved, so that others can have a Bible and grow and read and serve God. There's a lot that we can do, but what are we doing actually? What are we actually doing? Matthew 9:38, well-known verse in the Bible. It says, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." This is something that we need to do. But many times, we don't really pray that prayer that God wants us to pray. We could probably be like somebody saying, "Dear Lord, send some laborers into the harvest. Amen." So much emotion. So much zeal. "Send forth laborers, Lord. Amen." Almost sounds like you're unstopping the toilet or something like that. Honestly. Just like it has no importance whatsoever. But the fact of the matter is, God wants our hearts into this thing of missions and praying for laborers to be sent. The problem is that many times we don't pray like that with feeling and with zeal because we don't want God to say, "I want you to go." That's the big problem.
Right.
But I have my job. I have my house. I have my business. My children are still in the Christian school. Well, how can I do that? God, this is not the time. But if we say to God, "Not now," it won't be not now, and it won't be not later either. God, send forth laborers. How many people don't know? And the word laborers, what does it mean? It says in 9:38, I get lost sometimes. I would do much better in Spanish. It says that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Laborers. Somebody that labors. Somebody that is working hard. Somebody that is toiling. Are we actually doing that ourselves? We need to pray to that end. What else can we do so that all can hear the gospel? What else can we do? We can pray for the laborers. Pray that God sends laborers, but also pray for the laborers. It's very interesting. I can tell you firsthand, having been in Mexico for 10 years, almost 10 years, I can tell you firsthand that there's a lot of battles. And there's battles here. But let me give you an example. Let's just say that Pastor Jerry is going through a hard time. He can speak with his dad. He can speak with some of the men of the church. There's encouragement amongst ourselves. There's other pastors that he has fellowship with that he can speak. There's a way for a person to continue to go forward and to serve God and be encouraged and not give up. But let's just say you're in another country. Everything is very different than here. Friends, you really don't have any friends because you can't be like this, transparent with the people in the church, because there's a danger in that. And who do you go to? Who do you go to? And there is opposition. There's opposition on the mission field without a doubt, because the devil is not interested in what's being done. He wants to stop it. And if he can stop the person that's preaching and the person that's running the church, the pastor there, the missionary, then he can stop everything. And then will the church continue to go forward? Will the members there that maybe are saved for a year or 2 years, and they themselves are battling in the things of God, and then their pastor, their preacher quits and goes away, what are they going to do? Are they going to continue to go forward, or are they also going to quit? We need to pray. We need to pray for the laborers. Ephesians 6, 18 to 20. Let's turn to that passage. Ephesians 6, 18 to 20. We need to pray. We need to pray for the laborers. It's very, very, very important. And don't get me wrong. We need to pray for Pastor Jerry. We need to pray for the men of the church. We need to pray for the deacons. We need to pray for the Sunday school teachers, for the bus workers. We need to pray for everybody, yes. But it's just a little bit different as far as on the mission field. Ephesians 6, 18 to 20, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in bonds, that wherein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Here Paul, the Apostle Paul, is speaking about praying for him so that he could speak boldly. He could present the gospel. There is opposition. If you find yourself in a situation and you're saying, God, I know you want me to witness to my neighbor. I know you want me to tell my coworker how to be saved. I know you want me to tell them. And there's a battle there. And a lot of times what we do is we don't say anything for fear. And that happens here. But how much more so? How much more so in a foreign country? How much more so when everybody looks at you as if you're crazy because you're not worshiping the saints and praying to Mary and doing all these things that they think are normal, when actually there's no basis whatsoever for what they do? It's no basis in the Bible. And a person has a tendency to close his mouth. Pray that the laborers would be able to speak the gospel, speak the truth, and speak it boldly. We need to do that. Colossians 4, verses 2 to 4. Very, very important. Pray for the laborers. Pray for the missionaries so that they can speak boldly, so they can speak the truth exactly how it is. Colossians 4, 2 to 4 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for me, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. The Apostle Paul saying, pray for me so that I can speak as I ought to speak, so that I can utterance, open a door of utterance, a free pathway for the gospel to flow, to be preached, for people to hear. We need to do that. 2 Thessalonians 3. 2 Thessalonians 3. We need your prayers. And not just us. The other missionaries that are all over the world. We all need your prayers. And to hear that somebody is praying for us is a great encouragement. You know, we can all assume and say, all of those churches, all of our churches that we send letters to, they're praying for us. Not necessarily so. What's more, how many times have we ourselves said to somebody, brother, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that God helps you in this. And do we pray as we have promised? It's a blessing to hear that somebody is praying for you. It's a blessing without a doubt. And we need your prayers. 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 and 2 says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. These verses here are speaking about the word of the Lord having free course. That it may be preached and received, and nothing to hinder it. But not only that, it speaks about something different. That we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. How many times are there unreasonable and wicked men? People that do everything to stop the gospel. That happens here. That happens here. How much more so on the mission field? How much more so where it's that much more darker? And where there's not much of the Bible, and even though people may have a Bible in their house, it's never read, they don't know what it says, and the missionaries are supposed to be there to tell others how to be saved and to teach them the Bible, but there's a lot of things that are stopping that. Wicked men. Wicked men. Wicked churches. How we need to pray. How we need to pray. What can we do so that the whole world might hear the gospel? Pray that God would send forth laborers. We know that. We need to do it. Pray for the laborers. Pray for the missionaries. Pray for the pastors. Yes. Because nothing's easy. Nothing's easy. What else can we do? We can give so that others can go. And this is the point that nobody likes. Right? How many times I said it to the church people in Zacatecas? How many of you know how to say that word? Zacatecas? You don't know how to say it? How many have said it differently than that? You've not even tried to say it because it's too difficult. I've said to the people in Mexico about this, the thing that's closest to our heart is this. Or if you're a lady, your purse. It's the truth. It's the truth. And how many times, instead of doing what God wants us to do, we do that which seems right to us. Almost like we're living in the book of Judges. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. But don't we need to be led by the Holy Spirit of God to do that which he wants us to do? But God, it doesn't make any sense. I don't understand it. And then God says to us, as like unto little children, he says, you don't need to understand. Just do what I've led you to do. Let's look in 2 Corinthians 11. And my time is about gone. I can barely see that clock, but it looks like it's getting close to the five. 2 Corinthians. What does Pastor Jerry do? What does he do when somebody passes the time limit? Does he cast them into outer darkness? What have you seen him do? Because certainly, I'm sure the missionaries go over time. They pass the limit, don't they? He just said the magic words. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 7. Verses 7 to 9 says, have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted? Because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely. I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do your service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. It's Paul speaking about the other churches supplying his needs. And if we turn to other passages in the Bible, and for lack of time, we're not going to do it because I don't want to lose my support. In Philippians 4, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, or in Christ Jesus. I know what it says in Spanish, but I don't remember in English anymore. The fact of the matter is, what are we doing in the area of missions? And I know Pastor Jerry was telling me the other day about the missions month of February and how the numbers have went up an incredible amount as far as increases. And that's a blessing. But I think it would be dangerous to say, we've arrived. I think it would be dangerous to say, I know that I am where God wants me to be. There's always more that he wants us to do. And we need to be doing that. Why? So that others can hear. How many more missionaries could be on the field preaching the gospel, winning the lost and training them and doing God's will in an area of darkness, if we would only pray that God would send laborers? If we would only pray for the laborers so that they would continue to go forward, and if we would only give so that they could be there? And then the last point, of course, there's no time to see it. Present ourselves. Hear my Lord, send me. Hear my Lord, send me. Maybe God doesn't want you to go to a foreign country, but you know what? God does want you involved here in this church. Those of you that are here and faithful members, praise the Lord for that. But what about serving in this church? Is it not your church? It is. It is. And how many people you can reach that Pastor Jerry can. I've seen that in Mexico. Sometimes I try to do so much to get people to come to church, and they see me and they hear me and they're not interested. But the church members that have come to church that I've been able to witness to and went to the Lord, or my wife or my children, and they're in church and they bring somebody, that is definitely what happens more than not. We need to present ourselves, because God has a work to do. But how's he going to do that work? Through us, sinners saved by grace. And he wants to do his work, and we need to reach this world. Because what if Jesus comes back tomorrow? Lord, I did all that I was supposed to do. And God shaking his head, you didn't. Better to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant.